Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, move our spirits through your Holy Spirit, push aside the clutter, the busyness, the anxieties, the sin, whatever it might be, that we might worship you around your word this morning. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you want to walk with God? Do you want to walk with God? I'm not speaking of a mere theological concept or some plan to put your life back together. Neither am I speaking of theory concerning our position and place before God. I am asking you if you want to walk with God, as in walking with God Most High, Sovereign Lord of the universe. Walking with God now, not waiting for heaven to share the path, walking now in his abundance, knowing that you can trust God for everything and more. That God is present in your life in great assurance and power and a never-ending, over-the-top abundance of love and grace. You know that God is in the room, that he answers your prayers, carries your heartaches to the holiest place in heaven, shares your life of joy. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That kind of walking with God. Walking with God is being filled with the Spirit of God. Tipsy and giggly and surprised with the amazing goodness of God. That's what I'm talking about. Do you want to walk with God, experiencing heights of peace and satisfaction and significance and joy that you have no business being a part of, except that through Jesus Christ, God has made you a part of these things as he has brought you from darkness into his marvelous light? Do you want to walk with God? Doesn't it make sense then that if we want to walk with God, that, well, we must follow him, imitate him? For example, if we want to walk with God and God teaches us the way to forgive, shouldn't we follow him on that way? If we want to walk with God, would you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians 4:32? Ephesians 4:32. Doesn't get much plainer than this. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. See, God not only tells us to forgive each other, to forgive one another, he tells us how to do it. Now, be very honestly, we're pretty shifty rascals. We've got our rationalizations, we've got all of these things, and we've got our excuses. But how do you bail on something as plain and simple and straightforward as this, and then still say, oh, I want to follow God. I want a life of godliness. I want to honor you, Lord. How do we say those things with any depth of conviction or sincerity of heart if we are not willing to forgive, and if we are not willing to forgive as God calls us, and forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you? Am I right or not that the Christian faith, forgiveness is kind of a big deal? In him we have redemption, forgiveness of sins, redemption through his blood. Let me flip over to Ephesians 1 because I just did a terrible job quoting it. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Forgiveness is a big deal. Why do we miss it then so much? Why does the church, why do we who profess the name of Jesus Christ, why do we at times blow it so badly? Why do we leave ourselves and sometimes others scratching our head? Why can't that person see that? Why don't we do this? Well, we're going to look at that this morning. When I refuse to forgive as God calls me to forgive, I choose to not walk with God. If I'm walking down the road and I say, hey, you want to walk with me? Yeah, I want to walk with you. I turn around. Now, this isn't speaking to Carrie in the store, because I'll turn around and she'll be gone. Now, we don't want to get personal like that. No, this is tough. I'm walking and you say, you want to follow me? And then you're over there. Oh, I thought you wanted to follow me. I thought you wanted to be with me. Oh, I do. I really do. I walk a little farther and you're gone again. Isn't that so simple? If we want to walk with God, if you want to walk with God, if that's the truth, if that's a sincere, something you sincerely hold to, then you'll walk with God. And we walk with God by obeying Him and following through. We could go back in Ephesians 4, if we could go back to verse 17, when I refuse to forgive, I choose to not walk with God, I submit myself to living by the old ways of darkness. I realize not everyone in here has seen Star Wars and knows that Darth Vader turned to the darkness. But some of you do, and the rest of you, would you bear with me? Now, I'm not taking something from the Bible, something from Star Wars, and bringing it to the Bible. This has been in the Bible for centuries, even millennia. That there's a way to turn to light, and there's a way to turn to the darkness. See, one of the reasons why I think we don't forgive as God calls us to, because I think we still believe that we understand what's going on. We think that we're still in control of things. We think we're still guiding the ship, but that is not true. And I'm going to show us very clearly this morning that when we disobey God, not just with forgiveness, but this morning with forgiveness, when we disobey God, when it comes to forgiveness, we submit ourselves to the darkness, to the old way of living. Ephesians 4, verse 17 says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. In the darkness of the old ways, we harm ourselves and everyone around us. We start living. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to look in this next section. It says, you didn't learn Christ like that. See, this is what happened. We think that we know what's going on, but we don't, because we've turned away from the light. We cannot know what's going on as we are walking in disobedience to the light, to the truth of God's word. And how many times have we heard someone say this, and they've been shown the clear text of Scripture, and they say, but in my heart, I know this is what I have to do. Well, let's analyze that for a minute. What's this heart that we're talking about? Now, I think it is accurate that they are determining, that they are depending on their heart. Jeremiah, isn't that his name? It's not the prophet Daryl. It is Jeremiah. Inside joke there, folks, if you're visiting. Doesn't he have a little bit of insight about that heart that we say, you know, and we don't break it down like this. We don't, because if we broke it down, we'd say, well, here's God's word, and here's what God clearly tells me to do, but I'm going to disobey that and disregard it. I'm going to do, because in my heart, I know this. Well, now, okay, back to Jeremiah's insight on that heart. What about that heart? Deceitful? Desperately wicked? And who can know it? You think you know what's going on? It's a joke. You're clueless. Anybody hear Romans 1 echoing? Thinking themselves to become wise, they became fools. See, when we turn ourselves back into that darkness, We don't have some special knowledge. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about a Christian, if the person is a Christian in the first place, being stupid and sinful and foolish. This is what we're doing. When we break it down, when we say, I just can't bring myself to that. Because you know why we can't forgive? Because we don't trust God. Come on, Dave, really? Yeah. Because why don't you forgive? Because you're trying to steer the course of this ship. Someone has wronged you. They've changed your plans. They've altered your course. You're going to either, one, you're going to get them back, or you're going to make sure they don't do that again. You're going to guard yourself. You're going to defend yourself. Well, who is supposed to do all of those things for you? And let me tell you, who will do those things in a far better way than you can is our God, if you will trust him. Now, you might not see how he's going to work it out when you forgive this person. Say, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Back to God not only told us to forgive, but how to forgive, as God in Christ forgave you. Did you deserve to be forgiven? Did you deserve to be forgiven? If you did, then you don't have to listen to a whole lot more what I'm saying this morning. But if you are as the Bible describes you were, no, you did not deserve to be forgiven. Well, they might do this, or they might do that, or I'm not letting them get away, or whatever our rationalization is, it's the darkness. What does it say here? It's in the old ways, we walk in the hardness of our heart, our understanding is darkened, we are alienated from the life of God. In the old ways, we become callous, and we seek pleasure in things other than God. Do we really? And I'm talking about sometimes good Christian people. Good Christian people. You know, the other sin in this is that the good Christian people around us, when we are sinning in this way, we turn a blind eye to it. Because they're so good. And if I speak to them in this sin, if I speak to them and say, hey, you know, you really should be forgiven this, they might not be my friend anymore. Or they might not like me anymore. Or if I'm in a position of leadership, they might not want me to be in a position of leadership, or whatever it is. All those things mean nothing. Throw them all out. Because what are we going to do before God? Kind of negative so far this morning, aren't we? Why do I say these things? Why is this? You may not realize it, but I think it's been the last Sunday of December. This time of year, I preach on forgiveness. This is our third last Sunday in December here. And I've preached on forgiveness. I don't know next year if I will or not. But why am I doing that? Folks, as you know, and I do consider sometimes when I talk to you about the potential of Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. And sometimes I think, man, Lord, those guys are just going to think I'm just kissing up to them. They're just going to think I'm just, you know, blowing hot air. And so I'll start to not say something. And God said, Dave, you can't do that. And, you know, if God's speaking to me to share something with you, and I see such potential in our group, if we see the pieces that God has put together, and he just, like this, from all over the place, hasn't he? And drawn them into this fellowship. But we are some characters, and I mean, I'm talking right here too. Forgiveness is one of the things that allows God to mold us into this arm of strength, this gospel light in this area. Are we going to have conflicts? Oh, you better believe it. We let God work us through those things, and he keeps chipping away and smoothing and shining and polishing and grinding. And this is why I preach forgiveness, because it's so essential. What might God do with a fellowship that takes forgiveness as seriously as God does? I think Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois rises to the challenge. I really do. See, there's one of those things I felt like God wanted me to tell you, and then I didn't know if I should or not. But I think we're going to rise to the challenge. We might bruise each other along the way. No, we do bruise each other along the way, don't we? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Let God heal your wounds. You will have strength that you just never imagined, and assurance and spiritual insight and courage when God, He truly is God Most High and Sovereign Lord and Ruler of the universe, and you can trust Him. Even, folks, we have all been hurt, deeply, deeply hurt. I've told you, my last church, why wasn't I in the pastorate for 17 years? Well, I was asked to take a hike. I had some horrible things said about me. Horrible, twisting the truth. I wanted so bad to get back, but I couldn't do that. I had to be in God's hands. This is about each of us. We have been hurt deeply. God knows that. He takes our heartaches to the holiest place. Jesus, our faithful, sympathetic, empathetic high priest, takes our heartaches to the holiest place of heaven. He lifts that before God. We let God heal our wounds. We let God take care of us. He builds in you a strength that you can never have by just being the best religious person that you know how to be. Well, secondly, when I refuse to forgive, I choose to not walk with God as I turn away from the instruction in the way of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit, in the spirit of your, I guess the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We won't read the rest of those verses, but basically, see this transfer. We went and we said we read the old ways and we did things like the guy down the street did and the woman in, over here did, but now we've a new way of instruction in Jesus Christ. And we put off the old self. We said, no, I won't do things the old. The old ways really make sense a lot of times. And you know what? Sometimes they really work out well. They're just displeasing to God. And we're disobedient to God when we do those things. You have to choose who you're going to follow. Well, when we refuse to forgive, we turn back to the old ways. Instead of putting off the old self, the old man and the old woman, the old ways, we put them back on. Like our security blanket. You miss the blessing of God. We miss the blessing of God. When I refuse to forgive as God in Christ forgave me, first of all, we want to make sure we understand that we are disobeying God. We can sugarcoat it and rationalize it, and our friends can, and our friends can say they understand, and you're all full of baloney. Because it's sin. It's disobeying God. It's real plain. We talked about some things like that in Sunday school this morning. Some of these things, it's just not rocket science. But just as Adam and Eve, can you get any more simple than the sin in the Garden of Eden? You've got all of this. You've got all the trees. You've got everything at your disposal. There's one tree. Don't eat from that tree. Now, how do you confuse that? You let the darkness in. Don't think we're any better than Adam and Eve. The stupidity, the foolishness that we will fall into when we disobey God. We turn back to the old way. Our understandings darken. We become callous, etc., etc. We blow it. We say, are you following God? Oh, I'm following God. Well, then why aren't you following God? Why are you disobeying Him? Do you want to be godly? Live the godly life? Oh, I want to live the godly life. Well, how come you're disobeying the word of truth that directs you to godliness? And how can you rationalize? Well, you rationalize because you've submitted yourself to the old person who's walking in darkness. And that's what we do. And that's what people do apart from Christ. People that they continued, we walk and we rationalize and we justify, and that one day, for everyone who's ever been born on this planet, it will be crystal clear and shining more brightly than the sun. A holy God and a sinner before him. But some people don't come to that realization until they are before the throne of God. See, our way of thinking is corrupted by our desires. We have certain things that we want. And our motivation, our goals, they're corrupted. And so we'll take the information coming in, and we can't handle that data. We're going to look at some of that in this Sunday school class. That we think we automatically handle truth in the proper way, but we don't. We don't. All this stuff is going on. And we turn it upside down, we fashion and form it to fit what we want to do. Thirdly, when I refuse to forgive, I choose to not walk with God as I turn away from the life of love to which God directs me. 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. See, here's what God offers. God said, I will have you walk with me. I will have you walk in my love. I will be there with you. God tells us we will be in him and he will be in us. This is what he offers. And this is what we turn away from and step into the darkness when we disobey him. Now, it's very interesting because in verse 32, and this had not clicked in this way before. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you, verse 1 of chapter 5, be imitators of God. Oh, well, that's what he's saying over here, is be an imitator in forgiveness. Now, be over here, be an imitator in everything about God and be an imitator in walking in love. It's more, though, than it's, and walk in love, it's more than instruction, it's invitation. There is a place, while still on this earth, that God will bring unspeakable joy and strength and assurance and spiritual insight into our lives. It doesn't come from being the best version of who we think we should be, though. It comes from bowing before God. Even and sometimes the things that we look at as the hardest and the most difficult. How could I forget? And I could fill in a name. There's one name that usually comes to the top. He lives in northern Michigan. I have been able to put that down, but it took a long time. How could I forgive? Because whether I understand it or not, whether I can connect the dots, God can. And he says, kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. There's my instruction. There's my gateway, my invitation to allow God Most High, Sovereign Lord of the universe, in all of his strength and might and his wisdom and his riches of grace and mercy, for that God to move in behalf of my life, of me, to move in behalf of me. To step in the light and allow God to have a hold of me like that. And that we do sometimes. I can remember having a conversation with this guy. I said, just sometimes just the presence of God and the love of God, and this was back when we were in Portage. He said, I'm at work. He said, I've giggled out loud because of God's goodness. This overabundance and the goodness of God. Because, see, we think it's like a spigot when we don't forgive. We think of different family situations and people are going through things, and we see someone and they think, well, I'm not going to forgive because they hurt me, I'm never going to forgive, and what it's turned into is vengeance. But we think we're turning that spigot off of kindness and tenderness and forgiveness toward them. Who is getting choked off more than anyone? It's ourselves. See verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and slander, that's loud arguing and loud back and forth contention, be put away from you, along with all malice, which is bad feeling, all kinds of bad feeling, whatever it is. It's kind of a generic term there. Let all of that be put away from you, but be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Do you know what happens when you step into the darkness, the dark ways of the old man and the old woman, when we forget the instruction of Christ and we put on the old self? Well, we put on bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Now, sometimes we're passive-aggressive. Sometimes we don't show that. Some of the scariest people are those quiet ones, and you know they're just inside. It's a volcano of boiling anger. See, there's not some middle ground that we can navigate. We think we do, because thinking we're wise, we've become fools. We think, I've got it under control. If you, on your study sheet, you can see that comparison. It's like what we think we're justified in what we're doing. We're not. We understand exactly what we're doing and why we're doing it. No, we don't. We're clueless and we're ignorant. The Bible is just really clear. It's really clear where we are. We can't, as you know, we shouldn't we disobey God in anything. But forgiveness is kind of a big deal. Do you want to walk with God? Do you want to walk with God? Not rocket science. It's not about spiritual incantations or declarations. It's about obedience. If you want to walk with God, then you must walk with God. If you want to live a life of godliness, then you must live a life of godliness. I picked this up from Facebook, so you know it's true. No, it's someone well-meaning, but they're going to make this declaration of spirituality, but they miss the whole thing. They make it some esoteric, this some space that you come into, and this place of knowledge, and it's kind of, oh, I'll name this or I'll claim this. Well, this person says, in the name of Jesus, I declare that the way God thinks shall become the way you think, that your perceptions shall be His perceptions, your view of things shall be His view of things, that He will come and He will open up your mind and your heart so that you can really understand everything that He is saying and giving and releasing to you at this time, regardless of your circumstances. You will prosper and profit from your current situations. It's not about declaring things. It's not about stepping into special, esoteric, spiritual space. It's about the plain truth of Scripture and obeying God and reading what God says happened when we don't obey Him, what's going on the inside, because we're all pretty good about keeping the outside together. We, Faith Fellowship Church, Tennessee, Illinois, have this written on our hearts. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. We need to embrace that. We need to hold each other accountable to that.